The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus passed through towns and villages, teaching as he went and making his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" He answered them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then will you stand outside knocking and saying, 'Lord, open the door for us.' He will say to you in reply, 'I do not know where you are from.' And you will say, 'We ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets.' Then he will say to you, 'I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers.' And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and the west, and from the north and the south, and will recline at table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Those of you who've been to Charleston, the city, you know that parking is hard, huh? It's hard to get a good parking spot. So when I go, I usually go to the Nun's Bookshop on King Street. I park my car in their parking lot in the back of the store, and I go in, "Hi, sister, I'm Father Ryan from Spartanburg. Can I leave my car in your parking lot?" "Oh, sure, Father." Well, one time, I brought a friend along with me to show him Charleston, and as we were walking, I told him what I usually did with the car, and as we were walking towards the store, he says, "You know, Ryan, as soon as those nuns see you, they're going to say, 'Oh, here comes that leech again.'" How often do we have this attitude with God? No, we want to suck every grace from God possible. How often do we ask God for a favor, he grants it to us, and everything's okay? We have these spiritual highs, if you will, no? If you remember, I read that when the movie The Exorcist came out in the 1970s or in the 1980s, everybody was scared, huh? And everybody went to confession. They said the lines of the people after the movie, in the confessional, were large. After September 11th, what happened? After this national crisis, this attack on our country, what happened? Everybody, the churches were full. Everybody was going to confession. Everybody was afraid, huh? Often when we go on retreat, no, we're on the high mountain with the Lord, and oh yes, Lord, I'm going to be good from now on. We make a list of good resolutions. And then often when we have crises in our lives, "Oh Lord, if you let me surpass this terrible thing that might happen to me, if you allow it not to happen, I promise I'll go to confession every month. I'll do anything you tell me, Lord." But then 3 months later, after all these things, we can be leeches with God too. No, not just with the poor nuns in Charleston. When we encounter God, when we're on that high mountain, when we have that spiritual, or as they say, cloud nine, right? When we're on cloud nine, is that encounter with God real, or is it something superficial? If that encounter with God is real, we will have a true sense of discipleship. If that encounter with God is a superficial encounter based on emotions, based on how we feel at the moment, well, our discipleship will be a false sense of discipleship. Huh? Well, it'll be easy to escape from the narrow way that God calls us to if our encounter with Jesus is nothing but emotions, if it's nothing but a superficial reality. We have to truly encounter Jesus. What happened in the gospel? No? These people come up and say, "You know, we ate with you, we drank with you, no? We listened to you." But what do? They stopped right there. They remained spectators. They remained participants in eating and drinking, meaning what? They were there during the good times. But look at Jesus. He finds himself on his journey to Calvary, no, to his passion, to his death, on his way to Jerusalem. And when Jesus is heading towards his death, are we going to accompany him as well? Or are we just going to remain at the good things, the nice Jesus? Huh? Last week I said what? A gospel that does not challenge us, a gospel that remains complacent, a gospel that preaches prosperity and not suffering, cannot be the gospel of Christ. And if we stop at all the nicenesses, at all the politically correctnesses, of all the good things, the easy things to bear that Jesus tells us, and stop right there, well then, we can't be good Christians, because what else does Jesus tell us? Forgive. Sin no more. Take up your cross. And today he tells us to take the narrow way. The way of discipleship is not easy. The way of discipleship can seem easy when everything's going our way, when God is answering our prayers, when we have a parking spot that we know we can trust, when we remain in our comfort zones. It may seem easy, but the Lord always calls us to greater things. And in order to take up that greater thing, to take the higher road, we have to take the narrow way. What does this mean? No, in the Hebrew, the original, the word for narrow in Hebrew means to have some sort of to put forth some sort of effort or anguish in passing through something. In other words, to go through the narrow way, we have to do violence to ourselves, a healthy violence, a holy violence, the violence of love. A violence that sacrifices, that knows what areas we need to cut off ourselves so that we can pass through. And there are three areas, I think, that will help us go through the narrow gate, the narrow way. And they are humility, encounter, and detachment. Humility, encounter, and detachment. If for those of you who were at the who went to the Holy Land, I don't know if anybody here went to the Holy Land with me. If you remember, or for those of you who've been to the Holy Land and the Church of the Nativity, in order to get into the church, to see the place where Jesus was born, you have to stoop low. The door is about this high. Before, it used to be a great thing, but so that the horses and the soldiers couldn't invade the church, they reduced the door to this high and they left it like that. Why? So that people could always remember that in order to enter into the place where the Lord humbled himself for us, we also must humble ourselves. In other words, what? We should know who we are before God and among one another. Pride is what? Thinking that we're God, thinking that we're greater than everybody else. But when we know our place before God and with one another, that's humility. When we're grounded close to the earth, That's humility. And if we are humble enough, we can stoop. If the gate is narrow in the sense that it's short, we won't have trouble passing through it. That's humility. Number two, encounter. Yesterday, when I had to prepare for my sermon with the sisters in Traveler's Rest, where I went to say Mass, I read a reflection by a sister who worked in Guatemala. And she would have a Bible study every week with some ladies. And one, they were meditating upon this passage. And the lady who shared with the sister this reflection said this, no, what does the narrow way mean for me? The narrow door, the narrow gate, whatever you want to call it. It means encounter, in the sense that in the villages there in South America, they don't have highways like we do here, right? They have, in more of the, in the country, they have narrow paths. And when you have a narrow path, what does that mean? You have to encounter the person who's coming, right? You can't avoid them, right? How often do we try to avoid the people we don't like? No, if you ever see me passing through that cry room door, it's because I'm avoiding somebody in the vestibule, okay? How often do we try to avoid the people we don't like, that we can't, that we don't want to encounter? Remember the story of the Good Samaritan, right? Before the Good Samaritan, who passed by? The priest and the Levite. And what did they do? They didn't want to encounter the poor victim, so they passed on the other side. If a road is narrow, we have no choice but to meet, to encounter, to help, to be present to the person who we meet. In order to get through the narrow way, we have to be people of encounter. In this world of faceless communication, no? Everything is through text messages, cell phones, Facebook, I don't know. It's a faceless encounter. But to truly encounter, to truly get to know one another, we have to be present. We have to be people of encounter if we want to pass through the narrow way. The third thing, detachment. If something is narrow, the less you have on you, the less baggage you have, the easier it is to pass through. If we're carrying around so much baggage, if we're carrying around so much weight, except this weight, huh? If we're carrying around so many things, sin, past hurts, prejudices, stereotypes, whatever, how can we go through the gate that is narrow? We're going to have a difficult time. The Lord wants to free us of these burdens so that we can pass through this narrow gate. Often it sounds impossible, right? How can I be humble? How can I be detached? How can I encounter the person I hate, right? But the thing is, it's not impossible, because that narrow gate, that narrow doorway, that narrow gate, that narrow way is the size of a person. Because that narrow door, that narrow gate, that narrow path is a person. It's Jesus Christ. It's Him whom we have to pass through to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But again, in order to do this, we need all these three things: humility, encounter, and detachment. No, because otherwise, how are we going to have a good time if we pass through that gate? How are we going to have a good time in heaven if we still are not humble, if we're not detached, if we refuse to encounter? Because what is heaven? Heaven is a place of encounter where we encounter God and one another in love, in perfect love. There is no hatred. No. Thomas Merton gives a definition of hell as this: to be in the presence of God and others in love and to hate it, to not be able to stand it. That makes sense, no? Imagine going to a party, and as soon as you walk in the door, you see that one person that you can't stand. Everybody's having a good time. Everybody's dancing to Pasito Peron, no? Everybody's having a good time. And then you see that one person, and you spend the rest of that party fixated on that one person, passing on the other side so that you don't have to deal with that person. Or thinking up things what to say if that person should dare come talk to you, how you're going to defend yourself, right? If we have that attitude, we'll never pass, number one, through the narrow gate. And if we do, if we manage to sneak through, we're not going to have a good time in heaven. And so, brothers and sisters, let's not be afraid to pass through Jesus Christ. He calls us. He calls everybody. Look at the first reading. All nations and all tongues will be gathered to the Lord. Jesus doesn't leave anybody out. But often we do. Sometimes we even leave ourselves out when we're too hard on ourselves, when whatever. So let's not be afraid. It's not an easy road. Father Ted this morning posted a picture on Facebook, and it said, no, the devil can't make hell attractive. So what does he do? He makes the path there attractive, to make it seem easy. And it is easy to go down that road. It's hard when you go uphill, right? To go to heaven. But the thing is, the effort is worth it. As Christians, the Lord didn't promise an easy life to us. He promised a happy life. But in order to be happy, we have to put forth some effort. We have to go through the narrow way. So remember, humility, detachment, and encounter. Amen.